ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita introduction. Modern man has struggled very hard to reach the moon, but he has not tried very hard to elevate himself spiritually. If one has 50 years of life ahead of him, he should engage that brief time in cultivating this practice of remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This practice is the devotional process. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno Smaranam Padasevanam Ashanam Bandhanam Dasyam Shakyam Atmanivedanam Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. These nine processes, of which the easiest is Shravanam, hearing the Bhagavad Gita from the realized person, will turn one to the thought of the Supreme Being. This will lead to remembering the Supreme Lord and will enable one upon leaving the body to obtain a spiritual body which is just fit for association with the Supreme Lord. The Lord further says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gramina paramam purusham divyam yati partham nuchintayam. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Arjuna, is sure to reach me. Bhagavad Gita 8.8. This is not a very difficult process, however. One must learn it from an experienced person. Tad vijnan artam sa gurum eva vigacchet. One must approach a person who is already in the practice. The mind is always flying to this and to that, but one must practice concentrating the mind always on the form of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, or on the sound of his name. The mind is naturally restless, going hither and thither, but it can rest on the sound vibration of Krishna. One must thus meditate on Parama Purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the spiritual kingdom, the spiritual sky, and thus attain him. The ways and means for ultimate realization, ultimate attainment, are stated in the Bhagavad Gita, and the door of this knowledge are open for everyone. No one is barred out. All classes of men can approach Lord Krishna by thinking of him, for hearing and thinking of him are possible for everyone. The Lord further says, Bhagavad Gita 9.32.33, Mam hi parta yavasrita ye pi shru papa yonaya shriyo vaishas tata shudras te pi yanti param gatim Kim punar brahmana punya bhaktya raja shayas tatha anityam ashukam lokam imam prapya bhajas vamam. Thus the Lord says that even a merchant, a fallen woman, or a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the Supreme. One does not need highly developed intelligence. The point is that anyone who accepts this principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. One adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read. So, people are working very hard and they're trying to gain something. Like here, Prabhupada gives the example, people are trying to go to the moon. So, that is because they actually feel they're going to get something from that. Right? People are working hard because they want a result. And they feel they will become happy by this result. They will become satisfied. So then here, man is endeavoring to go to the moon. and all that. But he is not looking for any high purpose, any high elevated purpose, how to improve himself. That is actually more important. Because if the human being doesn't improve himself, then there's not really much benefit to being human. Because otherwise, in the animal species, can you make it go back? Does it go back? Okay, forget it. Just take the whole thing. It's not going to go. It's nicely taped. That's the problem.
The problem is he's taping it and broadcasting it at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So I'm reluctant to disconnect it.
I see. Okay. No, it's okay.
He came in and did something that made it sound horrible.
So, the animals, you've heard, they're very expert. Whatever we're looking for, they're better at. So sometimes we feel that, you know, as a human, we must improve ourselves, you know, create our security, create so many different things, prepare for the future. But we have to work very hard, and people don't necessarily do so well. Well, we see that the animals, in a very simple and natural way, create things that are, you know, economically, you know, work very nicely, right? You just find it laying around, doesn't cost you anything. That, it's biodegradable, mixes in with the environment, you know, it's aesthetically tasteful, and it matches their ability. So it's all the things that human beings, when they really sit down and try to think of elevating themselves to a nicer platform, the animals already are on that platform. That's the thing, is that we can see how low the human society has fallen. When ideals, living a natural, simple lifestyle, you know, in cooperation and, you know, using, being in tune with nature and all that, the animals are already doing. They've been doing that. They're already doing that. So that means the humans have fallen to such a level that this is an ideal. This is something special, something elevating, right? People will say this with very, you know, very fine emotions, then they will think that, yes, this is elevated, yes, you know. Oh, what is he? Oh, he lives in the forest, lives a very simple, oh, very nice, yeah. The birds are already living there, everybody's already living there. So if our improvement will simply bring us to the platform of the animals, it doesn't look very good for humans. If elevation means coming to the animal platform. And the other is just being the animals are already doing it. So there's nothing special. They're already good at it. They're more expert at it. So that's the thing. Human life is not really meant for material development. On its own, it doesn't function well. Right? We don't come up with something too good like that. It's what one will get will be very, very simple and all that. Not very developed. But we see that if we approach the higher authorities, then one can actually elevate oneself. Then one can develop the finer nature. One can develop an improvement in the consciousness beyond the animal platform. Otherwise, it'll just be the animal platform in a sophisticated way. But then even you don't get the benefits that the animals do. When humans become sophisticated in the modern sense, then even the simplicity and the naturalness and the exchange and the happiness that the animals taste, the humans lose. So even that is not gained. But if one approaches the authorities, then through the Shastra and that, then we can actually live a life meant for humans. It comes up to a higher platform. Much higher platform. So in this platform, then people become satisfied materially. It means the Vedic culture, if it's followed according to the scriptures, then the life is natural. The sophistication is way beyond. It's not technically so developed, but the sophistication is way beyond that of modern civilization. Modern civilization is only technically sophisticated, otherwise not so sophisticated. Not so sophisticated. Like that. One or two things they get a little sophisticated about. But we generally see it's all technical, or it has to be made technically. But those things, people will pay even more for things that are made naturally, handmade, made in the village, made according to some tradition, right? Made by people who are following some tradition. They'll pay more for it. Much more for it. So the Vedic culture, that's the bottom. That's just the bottom offering. Is the culture that already the human life is taken way beyond the animal. And it is sophisticated, it's natural, it fits in everything. And one can satisfy one's desires. It's very difficult to satisfy one's desires if the material world doesn't work properly. See, we think we're going to satisfy on our own. That's nice. But the material nature is also there. So if we're trying to do something and then there's a flood or there's a hurricane or there's a drought or, you know, unseasonal rain or it's too hot or too cold, it makes life even more difficult. So the Vedic civilization is you're not working against nature, but with nature. Right? Modern ideas, we'll conquer nature. But no one has ever conquered nature. It hasn't happened yet. And the greatest places, greatest civilizations, they have a problem with nature. Nature decides that she's going to have some nice calamity. It doesn't matter, you know, who one is, who one thinks one is. They have a problem. Right? If you have an earthquake, it doesn't matter what nice arrangements you made, it's a problem. Or a hurricane, or something, it's a problem. They are not able to, they try, but material nature is not something one can conquer. It's Krishna's nature, it's God's nature. So it can't be conquered. But, so, because God is in control of this. So then the human life, if we work with nature, according to God's direction, then the material platform is taken care of very nicely. But even then, there's no satisfaction. Because a living entity is something other than the body, the soul. So that means then you need to elevate yourself further. Right? Now we're not working with nature. And then we can come up to working with nature. But better is to go beyond that to working with God. That is the actual purpose. So the authorities can bring us to that platform where we can work with God. We can find out how God wants things to run. He made it. It runs according to His direction. So following His direction is generally an easier way to do it. He made the thing. He knows how it runs. Not only that, it runs how He likes. It's not that He's made some monster that's gone out of control. No, it runs exactly how He likes it to run. So then, if we are in tune with God, then things work nicely for us. Otherwise, it's a problem. So this, how to do that, then one must approach authority. One must approach, because those authorities, then they can tell us about God. And then by associating with such persons, one gains an interest to learning about God, or an interest to attain God. So in this section, then, Prabhupada's talking about how do we attain Krishna? How do we go back to Godhead? So here then the first important principle is association with the devotees, with those who know God. That's the first principle. Without sadhu sangha, nothing works. We explain that first there is shraddha, then sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya. But actually to get that shraddha, that it comes from sadhu sangha. So there must be enough sadhu sangha to get the faith, then we cultivate that faith. Then we take up seriously the association. Then it works. So that's the first, it starts there. Like that. And it continues with that. It's nourished with that. By the constant association of devotees, then that nourishes the development of the devotional people. And then one is able to always think of God. One is able to always engage oneself. So here, then you approach someone who not just knows the subject, practices the subject. That's important. We see Srila Prabhupada is practicing. Because he practices, others could do. Right? Because he practiced, then he could get others. Because he understood the practice, then it would work very nicely. And if he didn't understand the practice, then how it would work? Right? It can't work by any other way. What you know, what you can do, what you value to do, that you can give to others. You can't give something else. Right? One can teach something, but unless one values that himself, the students will only learn the academics of it. They will not learn the practical. Right? If you like to study the Shastras, you can teach someone else to study the Shastras. You like to do kirtan, you can teach others to do kirtan. Right? Because to do something, there must be a taste for it, an attraction for it. Otherwise, no one else is going to do it. It's knowledge. Oh, yes, very nice. Yes, we should do kirtan. Or yes, we should chant Hare Krishna. Very good. Yes, yes, that's the Vaishnava opinion. Yes, it seems to be quite consistent in their, you know, discussion, and quite scientific. You know, they had Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, so many different ways. Very systematic. Yeah, very good. Nice system. You know, and then also there, you know, the Tibetan Buddhists are also quite systematic, and you know what they're doing and all that. And then even if you really think about it, then the Aborigines in Papua New Guinea, you know, they have it's very simple system, a quite good system. It'll just keep going like that. Because the interest is just on studying systems. Oh, okay, nice system. Yeah, it's very good. Very, very clever system. Yeah, you've all put it together in this, you know, different ways, some Mandavide approach. No, very, very clever, very, very inclusive. You know? And then we have, you know, we can talk about, you know, Western philosophers and this. They also have systems. You know, Kavi has a system. So many people have systems. Like that. So, but the thing is unless it's valued, unless it's practiced, then it won't be given to others. That's the thing. That's the point, how this introduction starts. Bhagavad Gita is there. So many Bhagavad Gitas are there. But no one's becoming a devotee. So Prabhupada said, therefore the need for this Bhagavad Gita. Because this Bhagavad Gita is then written by someone who is in the tradition, practices this tradition, that has faith in this tradition. Then they are able to make then so many other Vaishnavas. That's the process. Otherwise, the process won't work. Then it becomes academic. Right? You learn what are the qualities, right? Just like we see. How does the malecha become a nice malecha, right? Because the parents are good malechas, right? They sit there and tell the kids, yes, you behave nicely, you do all these things, you should go to school, you should do your work, you know, you should deal nicely with everybody. They say all these things, yes, and the kids hear them all. But then what do the parents do, right? They're trying to cheat on their taxes, they're cheating on their husband and wife. You know, they do so many different things. They have so many bad habits, right? Parent is telling you, don't smoke, and they chain smokers. Right? Don't drink, and then they're doing it. So then, how do the kids turn out? They're good. Drinking, smoking, cheating, being lazy. Right? And the parents will say, well, what's happening to these kids? We're teaching them, but they're not learning. No, they are learning. They're learning actually what the parents value. They're actually learning. That's how you can tell. You want to tell what is a parent's value. Look at their child. What the child does, that's what the parents value. Very simple. So by association, then you can check. By association, you can check. If they associate, then with someone who is doing that thing, then they will gain that. So if we value it, then the others will take that. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. Impossible. Right? Non-Vaishnavas can't make Vaishnavas. So if one wants to go back to Godhead, one has to associate with those who want to go back to Godhead. And even better are those who are from the spiritual world. Right? That's even better. Therefore, the books of the Acharyas. We can associate with them through their instruction. Right? Some may say, well, this is not so important, or that won't work. But if that doesn't work, then how do you have 100 years between Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur, who's the next Acharya in our Parampara? Okay. Something to think about. Okay. Something seriously to think about. Okay. Because instructions are not bound by time or place. There's no time. The instructions of the Acharyas are eternal. Right? Here, Krishna is saying, I spoke this knowledge to Vidaswami millions of years ago. Right? You always hear in the various, like in the Krishna book, then Nanda Baba will be saying, yes, in the Bhagavad Gita it says this. And other places in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita it says this. But seemingly, Bhagavad Gita hasn't been spoken. No, it was spoken before. Way before. Millions of years before. And they're following it. Just in the Kali Yuga, people don't remember, so therefore the Bhagavad Gita is re-spoken and written. But otherwise, the knowledge, Bhagavad Gita, this body of knowledge, was eternal. It's always there. Krishna spoke that and he's always present. It's one of the books of Vedic knowledge. So it was unwritten, like the Puranas and the Vedas and all this. It was already there. But it was written at the beginning of Kali Yuga so that people could then get benefit of it. Like that. Otherwise, tendencies to forget. Tendencies to forget. So, distance is not the thing. So one can associate with the Acharyas, associate with the pure devotees through reading their instructions. That's the real thing. Right? What is it when one says it's a moment's association? Of course, being in their proximity, then the mood that they have, but you're learning that mood, you're taking that mood. But that mood is also available in their teaching, which is even more important. That's the most important. So this is an important thing to learn, is the Acharya is there in his work. Right? That whole point, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he who reasons ill, who thinks Vaishnavas die when they are still living in sound. So if Krishna is in his name, the Acharya is in their teachings. Otherwise, physical proximity, if that's the important thing, then Vapu is more important than money. And if you're supposed to be Krishna conscious 24 hours, who gets 24 hours association? Physical association. So then how are they advancing? How can they advance? And then Guru is there, then he leaves, goes away for 6 months. So that means technically then 6 months you can't advance because no Bapu. Right? No, but one is advancing. Why? Because of Vani. So that's the real association. Because if Bapu is the most important, then Sambho would also be the most important. But it's not. Deeper Lumba is more important. It's deeper, because it's in separation. So instruction is the most important. So it can be gained at any time, whenever we're willing to sit and study, sit and read. Then it's available. One wants to associate with Srila Prabhupada. What is the speciality of being a disciple of Srila Prabhupada? Someone will say, I am a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I'm initiated by Srila Prabhupada. What's the special? Because one heard his instructions. That's what's special. Or is it special just because some ritual is performed by him, right? When a Nitya Siddha does the ritual, then it carries the power. And if someone else does that ritual, you know, chants 22 mantras and pours some ghee on the fire, it doesn't carry as much. Right? Is that the important thing? Prabhupada is so much better at doing the ritual. Unfortunately, we see many of Prabhupada's disciples, you know, then Prabhupada was in one place and he accepted them as disciples, gave their name and beads, and someone else did the yajna. Prabhupada wasn't even there. So then, where do we stand? What is the standing? Then what is the special thing about being Prabhupada's disciple that makes one, you know, unique, standing out, or better? No. It's association in gaining the instruction. So instruction is the important thing. So if instruction is the important thing, that means anyone can sit down at any time with Prabhupada's books and directly get Srila Prabhupada's association. So therefore, then this is open to anyone. Everyone is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada by sitting and studying his books, by following his instructions. That's what becomes special. And we need the association of devotees to see that we are following the instructions that Prabhupada gave us. That's the point, is that we can read directly, but then someone has to see that we are doing it. Otherwise, maybe we're not. So there's an advantage, because Prabhupada's disciples themselves, then Prabhupada himself told them what to do. And then they know, and then they tell others, and this and that, and then it comes down. But that system of doing, teaching, then that is why one needs the association. Otherwise, the instruction, we can get direct. Siksha, you can get direct. But in practicing it, then it's always best we take help. We apply it ourselves to the best that we understand, and we take help from others to see that it is going on nicely. So this instruction then becomes the most important. Sometimes due to sentiment, then we take the bhakti as the most important. Right? Therefore then, you know, the real serious worship of Srila Prabhupada is how high his seat is, or how big his murti is, right? You know, we stand 20 feet away from his deity. That's all the farther you can get away. But you make the deity 1.5 times the size so that everybody is sure to see Prabhupada. You know, these things are good. They're nice. Nice sentiment. But more important is Prabhupada's instructions. That's more important. Because then one is actually dynamically developing. That attraction is good. But then what are you going to do? You're just going to stand there and smile at Prabhupada? You're going to sit there and smile at Rupa Goswami or at Lalita Shaki or at Srimati Radharani or... No, you have to do something. They're doing something. So you have to be active. Yeah? Govindaji is the lord of devotional activity, a devotional exchange. Rupa Goswami's deity. Rupa Goswami is our acharya. All the other acharyas are teaching us what Rupa Goswami teaches. Therefore, the activity of service to Krishna becomes the most common. That's the most prominent. So active service. The residents of Vrindavan aren't sitting around meditating on Krishna. They're actively serving Krishna. So application of the devotional process then becomes the most important. You have to apply it. So before that, of course, we hear about it, we contemplate it, we desire it. But we hear about and contemplate and desire in the company of others. Right? Especially hearing about and gaining the mood of service. Then we can apply. So when we hear from Prabhupada's books, then we gain that mood. What is the mood of the acharya? And then that will be beneficial for us. Right? That's the most... The process is actually quite simple. It's like hearing and then applying. It's not the secret. Prabhupada already has told the secret. Right? This is the secret of Bhagavad Gita, total absorption in thought of Krishna. Right? If one adopts the principle enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect and make a permanent solution to all the problems of life. This is the sum and substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita. So we see, paragraph after paragraph, Prabhupada is giving us the essence. He's telling us something and saying, this is the essence. So it's not that something esoteric has been left out. Oh, Prabhupada just gave the beginning. Okay, you're not this body. Okay. Then someone else has to say, well, you're the soul. Right? And then another person comes along and says, oh, by the way, there's also a supreme soul. And then another person says, hey, and that supreme soul is Krishna. And then another person comes and says, hey, you know you have a relationship with God? And another one says, hey, you can actually be, you know, active in this. No. Prabhupada's giving the whole thing from top to bottom and saying this is the conclusion. If you have the conclusion, then you can operate it. And with the conclusion, it will grow, it will expand, it will be dynamic. Okay? Basics is Sambandha Gyan. You just hear. Right? Sambandha Gyan, you know the field, you know how everything in the field relates with each other. But to operate it, that's another topic. That's called Abhideya. How to do devotional service. And then the goal, prema. So now Prabhupada hasn't given this. Prabhupada's given all this. So basically you say just giving, you're the body, you're not the body, you're the soul, there's God, there's the material energy, and you know, this is the connection. That you can get from any transcendentalist. Prabhupada's taken beyond that. And the goal is prema. So then what is not there? Someone may say, well, some details are not there. But detail never functions without a principle. You can't get a detail to work without a principle. You don't know how to cook, then I tell you some technical detail about a recipe, you're never going to cook it. It's not possible. But if I tell you how to cook, the principles of cooking itself, the process, the science of cooking, then any detail is open to you. No detail is not available. So the detail is not the important thing. The conclusion, the principles, that's the important thing. And we see Prabhupada, purport after purport, sentence after, is saying, this is the essence. You have this, you have the other thing. Then the details, how to get that total absorption, right? How to get these things. Because we have to remember, in the material world, the foundation is down. Right? And then we can say, yes, foundation, basics are a lower level. And then we build on top of that. But we have to remember that this is the spiritual world. The foundation is up. Right? This is reflection. If you're on, in the water, on the tree reflected in the water, then which way is the root? It's up. The banyan tree of the material world, where is the root? Down or up? It's up. So that means what we would call basics are up and the details are down. So therefore it's a different thing, different consideration. In material academics, yes, basics are down and the details, academic details are up. But in the spiritual world, the basis is principles. Right? Based on those principles, then so much detail. This is the difference. Right? The modern thing is you teach all these little details, and then at the end, maybe they'll teach you the principles. Maybe, maybe not. Generally, they don't even know them themselves. Right? Because the idea is not to come to a conclusion. The idea is to, churn the mind and get some taste from that. So conclusions aren't important. But the spiritual is you teach the principles first. Then, if you understand the principle, then we can teach more and more and more detail. But until you know the principle, you don't know anything. And the principle itself is the most important. It's actually what makes the detail work. It's a subtle point. But the point is we want to operate it. We don't want to know about it. Right? Knowing is one thing, operating it is another. If I know unlimited knowledge, but I can't operate it, what's the use? But even if I know just a few points, but I can operate them efficiently, I get great benefit. So this is the importance of the association. Yeah. So that we can gain from Srila Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is very careful to see that these principles are put into place. Now he's saying that this is possible for everyone. Everybody can do this. It's not restricted. That is also what's wonderful about the process. It's not restricted to any one person or time, place, circumstance. Everybody can take part. This is also because everybody is soul. And everybody can chant, everybody can think of Krishna, be absorbed in Krishna. This is the process. So mentions here, even a merchant, a fallen woman, a laborer, or even human beings in the lowest status of life can attain the supreme. One does not need highly developed intelligence. Because the intelligence isn't what's getting us God. It's the faith and following of the process. Right? Someone who's intelligent, you need to use more intelligent things to convince them that they should follow it. Someone who's less intelligent, with a more simple thing, it is done. Right? So intelligence isn't the principle. It's a matter of whether one has faith. If one associates, if one practices according to that direction, then one gets the result. That is the process. Is that in the association of devotees, we practice the devotional principles, then we get the result. Right? Because the result is not intellectualization. The result we want is total absorption in Krishna. Any questions on this so far? Another point Prabhupada is making here is that the mind is very restless. It always moves here and there. So it has to do something. The mind must be given something to do. So then of these nine processes are given, and of that then Shravanam Kirtanam is the most important. Because that always works. You can always chant, you can always hear, no matter what the place, circumstance. You need no paraphernalia. While other things then may require something. Right, to do deity worship, you require so much paraphernalia, or to the service of the Lord requires paraphernalia. Many, many things they require. So one can do, they're good, but they're not as essential as hearing and chanting. So in this age, then this hearing and chanting then becomes the essential principle, even if one is doing the other processes. Right? One is worshiping the deity, the hearing and chanting must be prominent. Or one is performing padasevana, worshipping the Lord's lotus feet, but then hearing and chanting is most essential. Right? You're serving the devotees, but in serving, what do you want to do? You want to hear? That's the most important. Right? Deity, then we mentioned deity worship. Then dasyam, so then that service, then following all the nice varnashram. Krishna says, if you can't follow sadhana, then you work for me. Work for me, give the results of your work. So this is varnashram. So one can follow this varnashram system and then this way elevate oneself. Follow the varnashram for the pleasure of Krishna, as pointed out here. If one adopts the principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita, he can make his life perfect. The point is that anyone who accepts the principle of Bhakti Yoga and accepts the Supreme Lord as the summum bonum of life, as the highest target, the ultimate goal, can approach the Lord in the spiritual sky. So that's the essence. So then, following the varnashram, still the essence is hearing and chanting about the Lord. Okay? So then, whatever the position, this is the essential point. This is the essence. So though we may do so many different activities to engage our different conditioned natures, and for different situations, essentially, we still have to see that the hearing and chanting is going on. If that is not going on, these other things will not be so fruitful. Because what will they give? This age, they can't be followed so well. And not only that, they'll give some pious return, or at best, if it's followed in a detached manner, it can give one liberation. But that's all. That's all you can get out of it. So therefore, without the hearing and chanting, then it won't work properly. And we see to follow, especially to follow this Varnashram system, then one must be situated in goodness to actually follow it properly. Right? To get the real benefit out of it, one must be situated in goodness or aspiring for goodness, one will get the actual benefits. And then, how are you going to be in goodness? Right? If one is born in passion and ignorance, right, on the animal platform, how is one going to follow the human platform? What is going to elevate us? Right? The animal platform is not going to elevate us. It can make us sick and tired of the animal platform, but it will not elevate us. Right? It doesn't have a process. So therefore, without the Yuga Dharma, without the chanting, then we can't be situated on the platform that this Varnashram can be followed, the sadhana can be followed, our remembrance of Krishna can be followed, our practice, these practices that are there, that are based on goodness, cannot be followed. So then it becomes very difficult. So without that, it won't function. Yeah. The 64 items that Mataji is talking about, Rupa Goswami gives the nectar devotion, the 64 items of devotional service. They're to see that the body, mind, and words are fully engaged in the Lord's service. And if we look at them, then we see that most of those are connected with deity worship. Of the 44, most of them are connected with the deity worship. And then the first 20, things one should do, not do, you know, accept the spiritual master, the things that start the process. Until you accept the spiritual master, the process doesn't really work. Until you surrender, it doesn't really work. You know, if we accept the, you know, association of personality like Tulsi Devi, you know, we take up the chanting and we avoid the offenses. So, you know, we don't hanker, we don't maintain material attachments. All these different things. If those things are avoided, then we see the process can work. And then what work is there? Then 44 items are given as the process working. You know, go to see the deities, circumambulate the deities. When the deity goes out on parikram, then go with the deities. You know, follow the festivals of the deities, cook for the deities, hear about the deities, all these different things. Then in this, then, most essential is then association of devotees. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, this worship of the deity, and living in the Dhamma. So these five, then, these are most essential. With these, the others actually expanding from these five. These five are main. And from that, then the other items expand. Right? Just like in deity worship, you have 16 main items. But then when you apply that throughout a whole day, if you sit down at one time and perform worship, you do 16 items. But you want to do those 16 items throughout the whole day, that means that the application needs to be adjusted for the different situations. So then the 16 expands into 64. So in the same way as you have these five principles of devotional service, and then, if you want to make it apply all day in your life, every day, then it expands into 64. Then it works. But all of them will go back to these five. They all go back to those five. So those are essential. And of those, then we see that by associating with devotees, then we hear. We receive the name, we chant the name, we hear Bhagavatam. Then, the next thing is we want to live, be with the Lord, worship the Lord, and be in His place. Right? So then by the first one, association of devotees, then we see the chanting and hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, then starts. Right? Means chanting and then hearing Bhagavatam. So Shravanam Kirtanam starts in the association of devotees. And then what's the result? We want to live with the Lord and worship the Lord. So here, that's the whole point. We want to go back to Godhead. So then how to go back to Godhead? Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, associate with the devotees. Because if you do that, the others will happen. Right? He's established the goal, going back to Godhead. We're soul. Krishna is the supreme soul. We don't belong here. We want to go to the spiritual world. So then, how to do that? Associate with devotees. That's the most important. And then, what do we do in that association? Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So that's done. Then the rest of it will fall into place. When that's in place, then you can start adding all these other things. They work very nicely then. Right? If we value this, we want to worship Krishna, we like the association devotees, we like this chant, then we want to avoid the offenses. Then we want to take advantage of the association of Vaishnavas. You know, we want to then also worship the Lord's paraphernalia, Tulsi Devi and the devotees and the Lord's place, his dham. So everything will expand from that. It all expands. So therefore, it seems basic, just association with the devotees. We've heard it so many times. But we have to associate with the idea that I want to go back to Godhead. Right? You just bump into, you know, somebody, oh, Vanchas Prabhu, Vanchas, you know, this and that, and then Hari Bol, and, you know, try your best to avoid offering obeisances and this and that, and then, you know, say some, oh, how's it going on? Hey, Hari Bol Prabhu, you know, I gotta go now. Right? Why do we have to go? If we're busy doing so many things. Right? And so then where's the time for Shravanam Kirtanam? Right? Not there. So then, the association is not serious. So therefore, Shravanam Kirtanam is not serious. Therefore, desire to attain the Lord and His abode are not serious. And then we get distracted by all the other different things. You know, like that. Artha, kama. Sometimes you get fried enough, moksha. But then it's not satisfying. Therefore, the process starts on the transcendental. From transcendental, you get transcendental. Right? Artha and kama and moksha, they're material still. Right? In the spiritual realm, in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no concept of liberation. Right? It doesn't exist. They live with God. Liberation is a material concept. It's a concept of this material world. It may be about transcendental, but it's still a material concept. Because only conditioned souls have this concept. The eternally liberated souls don't have this concept. They just live with God, serve God. Liberation is of no interest to them. Who wants to leave Vaikuntha and go sit in the Brahman? Right? But for the conditioned soul, liberation is a track. Because the material world is so painful, they just want to get out of it. Get rid of the pain. Right? And why, you know, and why do you need artha? So you can live here, be secure, right? Secure until you die, right? Then what do? So then these things, they don't give something. Some sense gratification. How long does that last? Not long. So then it's a problem. So it's just, so then these material things gain material. So unless they're touched by the spiritual, there's no glory to them. No glory. No glory. Like that. So one can never make them more important than Krishna. One can't make them more important than Krishna. Important, but not more important. Krishna always has to be there. The chanting has to be there. The desire to please Krishna and attain Krishna has to be there. Then, whatever activities we do to keep us busy, engage yourself, then they become useful. Otherwise, not so wonderful. As we described, the animals are doing a better job. Right? Like that. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to go to school and get a job and this and that. They just walk around and pick up whatever they want to eat and eat it. Anything else?
But then chapter 7, text 20, Krishna says one will worship demigods and that's intelligence.
Yes.
And then the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says, give up all these things. Why in the very beginning Krishna said, you don't do yajna for demigods in the state?
The principle is sacrifice. Sacrifice must be there. So without sacrifice, there is no elevation. Right? That one is not. One cannot improve oneself without sacrifice. So since we're taking things in this world, then there must be sacrifice, and the ones who are providing that are the demigods. So without worshiping them, then it's stealing. Right? But then we see, where does all that come from? Right? It comes from Krishna. Therefore, give up all this. Give up the material things. Material desire, in other words, karma. Right? Third chapter is karma yoga. So he's teaching us what is the process of karma. Because Arjuna has, in a very, enthusiastic mood, come on the battlefield ready for activity. But that activity was for himself. So he became bewildered. So then Krishna explained to him the spiritual process. But after explaining it, then he says, okay, now you do your activity, your fight. And then Arjuna is thinking that there's some difference between activity and spiritual life. So he's thinking, well, if I'm working on the platform of soul, why will I fight? Why will I do a duty of a kshatriya? I'll just go to the forest. So then Krishna then has to explain to him what is work. What is actual work for? It means your duty as a kshatriya isn't just to get yourself a kingdom. Your duty as a kshatriya is to elevate yourself to the transcendental platform. That's actually what varnashram is for. Varnashram is only to elevate us to the transcendental platform. It has no other purpose. And why get to the transcendental platform? Because we want to develop love for God. Therefore, the sarva dharmam paritya. Even you getting yourself to that platform, you have to go on, beyond. You have to surrender to Him. Liberation is not enough. So the sacrifice is not complete unless it is brings one all the way to Krishna. That is the thing. It's that one has to know how to work for Krishna. So that's third chapter is teaching us how to work for Krishna. That's what's... So Krishna's taking one through these stages. It's very, very, very practical. Right? Then he knows how to work. But then in second chapter he taught all that knowledge. Right? So then in the fourth chapter then he goes back, now explains this knowledge again. Then he puts the two together. Right? Then again, fifth chapter, action in Krishna consciousness. Right? It's also karma yoga. But now it is, the first one is just the activity. So the neophyte may do it without much understanding. But then when he becomes more mature, he can gain that technical understanding of this material world. Then when you put the two of them together, then that becomes very dynamic. So that platform generally we see is more the madhya. Then you want to go to the uttam stage, then you need dhyana. You need meditation. Because you have to be totally absorbed. So therefore, then in the sixth chapter, he teaches meditation, dhyana. So then you see the kanista, the madhya, and the uttam. But now what's the essence of that? So now he's taught the technical points of the process. But then is bhakti. So then after that, then he starts, why should you work? Who is to obtain? What's this knowledge? Then it's the Supreme. So all different aspects of Krishna. How he's entered the material world, how he's controlling everything. Until that brings us to the platform of bhakti. So it's nicely taking us through. Nicely taking us through. And then when one understands the total picture, Then you can get into technical details of the material workings and all that without any disturbance. Otherwise, then one will get attracted by jnana. That's why jnana is not given first. You give the basics of things just to set things up. You're not the body, you're the soul. Soul can't be killed, this and that. Then you have to work, you have to engage the body. Right? So you show the relationship between the soul and the body. The mind, if you don't focus it, then it'll run off with the senses. Senses are there, intelligence is there. He's explained the whole thing. Yeah? So then, and then, conclusion, bhakti. But if he just gets into all kinds of nice technical things, then people get distracted. Like Vedanta Sutra, it's actually explaining bhakti. But because of the nature of it, the language of it, it attracts the minds of the jnanis. And they miss the bhakti. So if we gave the last chapters of Gita first, then people would become bewildered. They either wouldn't touch the book or they would become jnanis. But those technical things then are for later. Karma has been done. Then if one can go beyond that to the Madhyam platform, then these last chapters, then they're useful for you. But once you understand the conclusion of bhakti. Right? So it's good. So then the whole process is there. So that's why you'll see is at different stages in the Gita, then Krishna may give different aspects. Right? In karma, you have to worship the demigods. But in jnana, you don't. But liberation. But then you must give up that to surrender to Him. Right? So karma, jnana, and yoga are presented in their pure state. Because these are the three things that keep us in the material world. Our attraction to karma, our attraction to jnana, and our attraction to yoga. So then Krishna explains them in their pure, proper relationship, in relationship to Himself, in relationship to bhakti. Then one can get out. And to operate the karma and the jnana and the yoga, then these technical points in the last chapter, how the modes of nature work, and all these the different natures, the mind and demoniac, all these things are important. And even for one in karma, then understanding activity and passion, goodness and ignorance is important. So therefore they'll choose what's in goodness. Right? So like that, then he gives the technical points. In other words, conclusions first, then detail. Right? That's the thing. So we see that this process is, this is how Krishna does it. Conclusion first, then detail. So therefore, Prabhupada gives conclusion first, and then details as they apply. Because the conclusion is more important.
So. I like that. I just got to make me think of something, because when Prabhupada first introduced deity worship in San Francisco during the height of the Ashbury hippie movement, one thing he said to the devotees at that time was they made the deity of Krishna, they made the deity of Jagannath, and then he said, well, you come to the temple and you offer a candle to the deity, and then when you come to the temple, you bring some fruit or some flower or something. And that's all he told them.
Mm.
And they were doing that for like 2 weeks. They'd come and they'd offer the temple thing. And then they finally said, well, Prabhupada, is there anything more? After 2 weeks of doing this, is there anything more we should do? Prabhupada said, if I told you everything, you would think.
Yeah.
So,
it's true.
The conclusion is that, okay, there's some worship that has to be offered to the deity, deities. Eventually, slowly, but
details
the
come.
Details come.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good point. Because if you have the conclusion, then even with practice, the details will come. But if the conclusion's not there, then unlimited detail will not give you actually a proper result.
I love that story Shyam Sundardas told on the Prabhupada tapes. He was talking about the introduction of deity worship in the West, and specifically the worship of Lord Jagannath in Haight-Ashbury, San Francisco.
Huh.
And he just, the way he said it was so wonderful, because he said, only in Haight-Ashbury in 1968, you know, could, you know, an Indian Swami come and present these forms to the Lord and say, this is God, and like, everybody go. You know, in other words, at no other time practically in history would such a thing be possible. You know, that if you came in 1950 and you brought Deity's Jagannath and said, this is God, and they said, just because of the tenor of the times, everybody was just able to go, okay, this is God. Always wondered what he looked like.
Yeah. You know, I thought he looked like that. So we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainata Govara Premanadi.